Malachi chapter 2 tonight, but in review, just recall that when we were together last time, we saw Malachi to be a prophet little is known about. He was a contemporary of Nehemiah, which kind of is interesting to put that into the picture here, because Nehemiah comes so far earlier in the book. But in the timeline of chronology, he's a contemporary of Nehemiah. He was the prophet, and he was the one who was crying out to Israel, God's people. He's the last effort God gave to try to get these people online. And he was the guy who had to give the bad news that God was pretty much fed up and done with them. And his first chapter dealt with the fact that he was actually very, very disappointed, as it were, in the priesthood. The priests had forgotten to keep God first. They were willing to let people bring faulty, second-like, flawed animals into the tabernacle and for the worship in the temple. At one point, he actually says, "Is there not one among you," in verse 10 of chapter 1, "who would just shut the doors?" "Would one of you just shut the doors? You keep bringing this in." He said, "You wouldn't give this to your governor, and yet you bring it to me. And woe be unto you, priests. Not one of you have stepped up. Not one of you have taken in hand to say this is wrong or this is bad. In fact, you've said over and over again, the sacrifices of the Lord are contemptible. The table of the Lord is contemptible." Now, the reason they would say that is, of course, they were fed from that altar. When people brought the seconds in, that was where they got their portion. They were able to eat from the portion that was offered. And so it was like they were letting it in, and then they were wondering, well, why was there this problem? And ultimately what we found as it wound down in the end of chapter 1 is he began to really let them know that he was going to be blessed. He was going to be honored by the heathen. He tells in chapter 2, as he pulls down into verse 9, he says the problem is that they had was that they were given to partiality. Verse 9 says, "Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people." He made the priests contemptible and base. People looked down on them. They said, "Oh, there's one of those priests. They're all about money." You know, it sounds like today, doesn't it? "They're all about money," or "they're all about this, that, or the other," or "they're holier than thou," or whatever. But for their part, they were made base and contemptible because they had shown partiality. Verse 9 again, it says, "According as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." The word partial literally means, it's made of two words in the Hebrew. One means to lift up and the other means the face. They looked at the faces of men and they were afraid of them. And so they really didn't want to tell anybody, "Don't bring that kind of an offering in here." And they changed things because they were afraid of men. And God said, "That was your flaw. That was your fault." So as we come to verse 10, we see he turns the corner now. He has affirmed his love for Israel in verses 1 to 4 of chapter 1. And then from chapter or verse 5 down to verse 9 of chapter 2, he's talked about his love for the priesthood. Now, I skipped over the love part, but he says, "I'm going to establish my covenant and keep it up there. I've got to deal with you guys because I love the Levites. I love the priesthood, and I want it to be maintained." So he had to really put them on the shelf, as it were. Well, what we're looking at now is he's coming about and affirming, as it were, his love for the people. His love for the people of God. Look at verse 10. He says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his neighbor by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Now, this is an interesting verse, and there's a lot of words that come out of here. Three words I want you to hone in on. One of them is the word treacherously. When you think of the word treachery, you understand the word betrayal or a traitor. You know, God gives us a great stewardship to be in His kingdom. He gives us a great stewardship to be His people. And every day that we live, we have the opportunity to support and affirm our commitment to Him or to betray Him. Does God look at it as betrayal when we deny Him, as Peter did when he denied the Lord three times? When we lay down and don't stand up where God would have us stand up? I think He does, because we see Him using this word treachery over and over again in this passage before us tonight. In fact, the title of the message has the word betrayal in it, the idea of the areas of their betrayal. And he tells them out of the gate, this verse 10 is all about the heart's cry of Malachi. Malachi cries out and says, "Have we?" You know, it's not God saying, "Have you?" It's he's saying, "We all have one Father." Why can't we all just do what's right? Why can't we all just go with God? He was lit up enough about God to say, I'm going with God. But he says, how is it that we deal every man with treacherously against his brother? Now, the word brother in the New King James is the word one another, and that's a better translation. The word literally could be brethren to kind of smooth it out a little bit, but the idea is among the family. Because really who he's going to focus on here are the wives. So to say brothers kind of gives us a little speed bump in our thought if we're trying to read over and over again. You might not kind of put that together, but the word is one another or brethren, the idea of family, people who are our blood relatives. And he's saying that there's a problem, there's treachery in their midst. Now you remember Nehemiah's heart cry when he found that the people of Israel had intermarried with the foreign women. And that there was to be a putting away at that time. In fact, God commanded through his leaders at that time for them to do some putting away. Now, God does not like divorce. In fact, he's going to say in this passage, God hates putting away. But for this purposes and in this time in Israel's history, God told them they needed to put away. And what was happening was they were dealing treacherously, not toward God yet. He's going to talk about that. But they were dealing treacherously toward God in that they were throwing their wives, their maids, under the bus. They were walking away from those who were within the family to those who were without, outside of it. When we talk to young people today, and sadly we just don't have them coming. They just don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear more than maybe an hour or two a week, and that's about all they can take. I personally wanted all I could get, and if it was good, I wanted some more, you know. But the whole idea is if they would just hear at the outset, the whole idea that really to go outside of the family of God is not just a bad idea. It's a betrayal of God. To go outside the family and marry outside of the kingdom of God, to marry a lost man or a lost woman, is a betrayal of God. He says it's treachery. Two ways it's a betrayal. First of all, God's looking at it. He sees it as a betrayal because he said, these are my children and I want you to honor them, you know. Do good to those who are of the household of faith, right? We're supposed to do good to all men, but especially to the... Why would it be that a man who is a child of God or a woman who is a child of God would look at somebody who's a heathen and say, I want that? That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's a betrayal. It's also a betrayal of a covenant. Back in Exodus 34, the Bible tells us there God made a covenant with his people. Do you remember that? And he says one of the things in his covenant that he wanted them to do was not to take heathen women, to take women of the heathen or women who were children of false gods and who would go chasing after false gods and cause their sons to go chasing after false gods. We don't realize the seriousness of it until we see God's heart on it as we close this book of the Old Testament. He says, why do we deal treacherously every man, if you will, with his wife? We'll see why that's true in a minute. He says, by profaning. There's the second word. The first word, hard word, treachery. Treachery. We've heard of it in the news where somebody's betrayed us as a country or sold secrets to the Chinese. It's terrible. You think that's awful. Espionage, whatever. We have to be careful not to be traitors as well. And he says, when we are, we profane the covenant of our fathers. The word profane means we make it common. We make it something that is not all that important. We're saying it's just common, ordinary. And you know, there is nothing more extraordinary than God. Not only more extraordinary than God, nothing more extraordinary than God's covenant with us. The Old Testament, huge. The entire panorama of the temple worship was a picture, a panorama, a running story of his redemptive heart. And then in the New Testament, of course, so far eclipses the old as to set it aside. Because there we have Jesus right at the centerpiece of it all. And it's a covenant. And yet we've got to be careful not to make it a profane thing. And he says where it really has been made profane. He didn't even talk so much about the word profane. He says it's contemptible, the table of the Lord through the priest. But the people had lost respect for the entire overview of who it was we served. And we have to be careful not to do the same. He says, by profaning the covenant of our fathers. Of course, I've referenced chapter 34 of Exodus. You can read that if you would sometime later, but it talks about marrying and intermarrying with those that are outside the faith. That was a big issue that Nehemiah had to deal with. That's the one that Malachi is crying out against. Verse 11 says, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned," there's that word again, "the holiness of the Lord which he loved." I think it's the New King James, "the holy institution of the Lord." He's talking about marriage. What did God love? He loved marriage. Israel, Jerusalem, Judah has profaned the institution God loved. And the Bible says, "and hath married the daughter of a strange god." They had thrown these other people under the bus. Now, when we talk about betrayal and treachery and profaning the covenant of God, remember 1 Thessalonians 4 as a cross-reference. You could even put that in your margin there. Because it is there that God says that if any man goes beyond and defrauds his brother or sister, God will not hold them guiltless concerning this. There he's talking about fornication. There he's talking about going cross barriers of morality.